This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, welcome to ENN on a
on
Friday. Yeah, on a Friday it is on TWE. I like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Not the bolo tie, a neckerchief.
I like to say good evening to Don.
I did have Zubaz pants.
And good evening to Michael.
Yeah, boy.
And I think that's all. Well, guys, we have to start out, unfortunately, on a solemn note, and that is, of course, talking about Demaryius Thomas, who we've not gotten to speak about a lot today. The former Broncos great passed away at 33 years old. He was found dead in his home in Georgia. Preliminary reports indicate his death may have resulted from a medical issue. A family member has said that DT had been suffering seizures for about a year. Thomas was set to turn 34 on Christmas, Super Bowl champion with Denver, 5 straight Pro Bowls, last played in the NFL in 2019, officially retired last June, this past June. Peyton Manning put out a statement. DT was a better person than he was a player, and he was a Hall of Fame player. That tells you how good of a person he was. He treated my kids like they were his own. He was there for every teammate's charity event. I texted with him on Tuesday. He was talking about a TD audible we called versus Arizona in 2014. Absolutely devastated. Some context to just how good Demaryius Thomas was. He's one of 3 players to have 1,400 receiving yards and 10 receiving touchdowns in 3 straight seasons. The other members of that 3-man club, Marvin Harrison and Jerry Rice. 2nd all-time for the Broncos in both receiving yards with 9,055 and receiving touchdowns with 60. Set a Super Bowl record with 13 receptions what Super Bowl was this? 48. It was broken by James White, who then had 14 later. And of course we all remember his 80-yard TD in overtime in the 2011 wild card game, the longest overtime TD in postseason history, and I believe we have the call of that play. Don't we have that? Tebow's game-winning TD pass to Demaryius?
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in 3 overtime games this year. They won them all.
Got him
at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him 3 to the 30, to the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on to New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
The quarterback of that play, Tim Tebow, on First Take earlier, talking about Demaryius Thomas.
We all know how gifted DT was on the football field, but that was not his greatest gift. His greatest gift was the joy that he brought to life. I had the chance to talk with Eric Decker this morning, and we were reminiscing on our great times together with DT. And the one thing we kept coming back to was how when he would walk in a room, he made the room brighter. Mm. He made the room better, not because of what he did on the football field, but because of his smile, because of his kindness, because of his joy for life, because of his love for people. And you know what? I want us to remember him, but I want us to honor him by when we have a chance to go live out our dreams and what we do, to bring that same joy, to bring that same love, to bring that same kindness for people. And that's the way I'm going to remember DT. And that's the way I think so many of his friends and family will remember him as well, as someone that loved people, as someone that brought so much joy, as someone that when they walked in a room, that room got brighter and it got better because of DT. We will love him and miss him dearly.
I mean, what a life. I don't know if you know this, Peter, the life he had.
Yeah.
His mom and his grandmother both were taken from him early and sent to jail in a drug-related crime. Mm-hmm. And the mother had an opportunity to get off easy if she would testify against her mother, and she refused to do it. So his grandmother got a life sentence, and the mother went to jail for a long time. Both of the sentences, I believe, were commuted by President Obama, and they were both there. They watched him play in the Super Bowl in person.
Which is incredible. You look at the numbers, guys, because, you know, football is a crazy game. There's so many players who have been so good that sometimes it's easy to forget kind of what level someone was at. Starting in 2012, he went on a pretty incredible run. Receptions and yardage over his career at that point, 94 for 1,400, 92 for 1,400, 111 for 1,600, 105 for 1,300, 90 for 1,083, 83 for 949. Just a really iconic receiver, and as really just when you think about that era of the Broncos, I mean, you think Peyton Manning, Von Miller, and Demaryius Thomas, you know?
Really sad. 33 years old, whole life ahead of him.
He's such a young man too, and like we're talking about in past tense because he's of course his career was over, but Michael, in any other circumstance, we'd be describing him as a kid.
Yeah.
So. Rest in peace to Demaryius Thomas. And that news came basically right as the football game was ending yesterday. And it was an interesting one. A 29-0 lead for the Minnesota Vikings, who have just been an absolute disaster when it comes to keeping a lead, and it proved to be true last night. Big comeback for Pittsburgh. They got within a score of tying the game. And, of course, there was a critical play late when trying to drive that everyone was talking about. Chase Claypool picks up a first down on fourth from Ben Roethlisberger. And instead of hustling back with the ball, celebrated momentarily. His teammate tried to grab the ball. The ball got knocked away by a Viking player. They ended up wasting like 7 seconds. And people were killing Claypool, including our own Ryan Clark on GetUp.
Chase Claypool is as mentally and emotionally underdeveloped as he is physically overdeveloped. This is a dude that has all the things you need from a physical standpoint to be a superstar wide receiver. He has a remedial level mental understanding of what it is to be a football player, of what it is to be a good teammate, of what it is to be a winner. You heard what he said. After he got the first down, he did my thing. At that point, it's not about my thing, it's about our thing. It's about when you watch a guy like Larry Fitzgerald, who's one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, sprint faster to give the ball back to the referee and put it on the hash than he did to catch the football.
The statement he's referring to from Claypool was this one after the game.
Definitely gotta be better. I got tackled near the hash, did my little first down point, and went to hand the ball to the ref. He had just got there. So even if I got right up and looked for him, he just wasn't there. So he ran down the field to come get the ball, and the ball got knocked out of my hands. That's what cost it this time. But I definitely do have to be better. I knew the situation. I know I'm near the hash. I know the ball's placed on the hash, but I got to be better.
Ben Roethlisberger asked if he'll speak to Claypool about it.
It's not really my job. I mean, that's to me, that goes up to Coach Tomlin. That's what he needs to do. That's his job as the head coach. It's not as the quarterback. It's my job to help manage what we do on the field and getting first downs and trying to score, dealing with player issues and whatever else you want to say. That's the coach's job, not mine.
Oof. Don, hearing it the second time, it sounded actually worse the way Roethlisberger approaches that in terms of, to me, really throwing Tomlin under the bus.
Yeah, and then this goes back to Antonio Brown, right, where, you know, that relationship. So it's just not something I guess Ben feels like he has to do. But to me, as a Super Bowl champion, future Hall of Famer, and captain of the team, it's not asking a lot for you to be a part of trying to make the players around you better. Isn't that your job, to make them better? And teaching him not to do that or explaining to him why that's wrong is a way to make the team better on the field.
Now, I understand what both of you were saying. You're in the NFL. There's no timeouts left. The clock is running. My son would know what to do. And again, I'm going to defend Roethlisberger. That was not the time or the place to lecture him.
No, but nobody's talking about doing it then. But like after the fact,
You know how many times this guy was probably told what to do?
Well,
he didn't listen to anybody. He was benched in the game. He doesn't listen to anybody.
I actually view it the exact opposite way, though. Like, you're saying that should be on the coach. He's been coached to do that before. What you need is your teammates to hold you accountable, because that's who you're ultimately letting down, right? Everyone says that. It's not about playing for coaches. It's about playing for your teammates. So, I don't know. I just found it listen, we both could be right. I just find it to be an odd response from Roethlisberger. To say that that's not within the purview of starting quarterback, to me, that's an odd take. Just stood out to me.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's talk about a great moment from last night, shall we? Let's hear the Big Ten Network's call of Rutgers' incredible buzzer-beater victory over number one Purdue.
No timeouts! Harper for the win! Oh! It counts at the buzzer!
And let's hear the call from Rutgers Radio.
Inside Williams with seven. One-on-one with Amori. Gets inside. Puts it up and in with 3.4 to go. Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win. Got it!
Let's go! Let's
go! Harper Jr.
Let's go!
The game winner at the buzzer.
Let's go!
And Rutgers upsets number one Purdue 70-68.
Let's go! Let's go!
You know how when it's late in the night and you're at a party with your wife and it's starting to wind down, she's having a great time, but you're driving.
You want to leave.
You're tired.
Yeah.
You're bored.
You say to her.
You know what you want to say to her.
Let's go!
Right.
You know?
Like Logan Roy would.
Logan Roy would say, let's go.
I've seen him scream at his wife on Succession.
Oh.
No, I that was over my head. I don't watch the show. I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't watch the show either, Don, until last week. Maybe it's a good idea to change.
On TV.
Stubborn.
Yeah, it is on TV, Don. It's really good. I mean, the best. It's
I'm special. Sure it is.
Sunday is the finale of the third season, right?
Yeah. A little upset about it. Episode 9, I was hoping they were going for 10. And, I mean, last week was such an epic ending.
Don't you dare.
I'm not going to. I'll just say this. It's one of the few times in the history of me watching television. And I'm an avid TV watcher.
Love TV. Have for years.
Yeah, I love TV and TV. It's one of the few times where when I was watching TV, I yelled out no. I yelled no at the television and hid and slinked under my blanket.
Wow.
That
you've done that before, though.
Well, yeah, but not because of the TV.
God, I'm going to bite my tongue.
Go ahead. You sure?
No, I'm sure. I did have two bad spans.
Okay, got it. Rick Carlisle has tested positive for COVID-19. He's out multiple games for the Pacers, by the way. So he will not be there for the Pacers, who are up against the Mavericks, his former team, tonight. The Blazers have told the Sixers that they are not interested in dealing Dame Dalla. I think it's time we probably start getting that out of our head. I mean, okay. We know that Stephen A. every few months hits us with a, I know that if he was going to go anywhere, he'd go to the New York Knicks.
But if he's not going anywhere.
But I don't think he's going anywhere.
Right.
I just don't think he is. I think it's time for us to move on.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, because last year it was from Washington, the player that was going to get dealt, Bradley Beal, right?
Yep.
Didn't happen.
Popovich out as head coach for Team USA. Guess who's in?
I know.
I'll give you a guess, Don.
You give me a guess?
Yeah. Guess who's in?
He knows I know it.
Well, and also, no, I'm really saying, because if you think about it for 1 second, it's the guy who you would have already assumed was coach, but you're like, oh, yeah, it's still been Popovich.
What, Krzyzewski?
No.
Oh, stop it, Don.
Well, no, that's not
just
a...
Just go to call the hockey game if that's your
all
guess.
All right, goodbye.
Did he leave? He didn't leave, did he?
I think he did.
Wait, he didn't walk out.
He guesses the guy who was the coach before Popovich, who's retiring this year, who's won 3 gold medals. That's the guy he guessed. That's the guy he thought was a good guess. And you wonder why yesterday's show was so good.
Andrew, he's not gone, is he?
He's gone.
Well, he was. He's kind of...
What's he doing?
It's hard to tell. He took his headset off. He's
okay.
He put him on, now off, back on.
Back on?
Look at this garbage.
Why was that such a bad guess?
I told you why it's a bad guess.
He didn't have his headphones on.
The guy was the Olympic coach for 3 Olympics before Popovich, and he's retiring from Duke, but he's going to decide to coach the Olympics again.
I don't know what
at the age of 78.
It's the Olympics.
Oh, my God. What an awful guess.
I'm sorry, Don. I didn't mean to set you up there. It's Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr taking over.
He doesn't care anyway. If it's not hockey, he doesn't care.
That's kind of loud and irritating.
Listen, they can play with a human head on fire during the Olympics. You'd have to tell me about it.
On TV.
But at least when I don't care about something, I could shut down or be snarky. I wanted to contribute. And I still don't
think
it's that awful.
You know what?
Awful guess.
I'll listen to Andrew.
I'm supporting Don.
I swear to God, whatever he says, I'll kneel down and worship it as if it was a religion.
No,
Andrew,
it's not an awful guess because it's conceivable that Coach K would want to leave Duke, but still would want to coach in
some
way.
Really, that's conceivable. You take the rest of the week off too.
Oh wow, you're firing everyone today.
Not firing anybody. I'm just letting they've had too much. Okay, yesterday's day off wasn't enough for Don. For him to come in with a guess like that, and Andrew seconding it, he should go home.
Well, but you know what? I'm supporting Don because Don.
Why don't you go home? I'll finish the show.
No, because Don is right. Don's not interested. But he participates. When you're not interested, the entire audience can see it on TV.
Right.
So I give Don credit. And you know what? I'm tired of you fighting. It's a Friday, and it's time for this weekend's local NFL announcer schedule.
Take the local out. Show me something.
All right. The New Orleans Saints are coming to New York in a game that everyone is talking about.
Not really.
The Saints, led by the great Taysom Hill or Tayshon Hall, 5.5-point favorites against young Zachary Wilson and the Nye Jets. The game, 1 p.m. The channel, 2, CBS.
The channel, 2.
The man at mic 1 will be? Any guesses?
Andrew Catalan. This sounds like a Spiro Dedis vehicle.
No, it's an Andrew Catalan vehicle.
Oh.
That's right. He'll be joined by Jimmy James Lofton.
That's a good group, by the way. We've got a lot of their games. They're good.
No, they are.
They are a good group, and yet it's unfortunate we get them all the time in this market. And Sherry Burris on the sideline, which brings us to 4:05. We go to Los Angeles, California. The New York Football Giants of New Jersey, led by a great, great quarterback, a man who has cleared protocol, a man we all know and love, a man whose name I can't remember.
Mike Glennon.
I wanted to say Trevor Siemian again, because guess what? Have you ever seen Mike Glennon and Trevor Siemian in the same room? I don't think so. But it's Glennon, and he's up against Herbert, the Giants, the Chargers. 4:05 on Fox. Oh. Adam Amin on the call.
Oh, I thought maybe Chris Myers.
No, it's not a Chris Myers vehicle. He's got something better that day.
Amin's very good. Also the Bulls announcer.
Mark Schlereth, his color guy.
Lick my fingers and touch it.
That's right.
It sounds, when he starts talking, not all the way through, but when he starts talking, he sounds like Buttle.
He really does. He really does. And on the sidelines, the great Shannon Spake.
That's Spake.
4:25 on CBS. That's right. The Buffalo Bills, angry embarrassed, some would say, after their Monday night loss in the freezing cold. Well, a change of pace as they go to Tampa Bay to take on the Super Bowl champion Bucks and Don and my best friend Bruce Arians. And for a game like this, 425 CBS, that's channel 2 to you and me. There's only one man for a call like that. His name is James Ellsworth Nance.
Hello, friends.
He'll be joined by Anthony Ramo.
These refs are going to get together right here and be like, hey, he just bumped me. Did you see that? I kind of saw it. Did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. Let's throw our flag then. We just saw it, right? Yeah, I'm game if you are. All right. Oh, let's throw it.
And Tracy Wolfson, which takes us to the Sunday nighter at 8:20. It'll be cold.
Do you know that Don thinks Tony Romo's overrated?
No.
Yeah, like nobody's business. I'm with him in lockstep. Honestly, no, there's not one person who's like super hyped and overpaid in this field, like, and really, really paid in this field, that's not overrated. And it doesn't mean he's not good, because he is good. It's just
you
too
think
much.
That Joe Buck is overrated? I don't
know. No, because people
he's
hate Joe Buck.
He's very well paid.
Yeah, okay, but Joe Buck, it wasn't. No one's ever been gushing over Joe Buck.
In fact, gushed it's over him for years.
Only you. Only yeah. you gush. Everyone else, it's like they hate Joe Buck and people
no,
who
they
don't.
They hate Joe Buck because he hates my team.
The point is, that's why I wouldn't call him overrated. Don, you hear what I'm saying. People don't gush about Joe Buck, even though he's tremendous. Now, Green Bay will be frigid, and it will host a team that Aaron Rodgers claims he owns, the Bears. That's right. The Bears are in town, their quarterback back at the helm, and Al Michaels on the call.
He did what?
Joined by Chris Collinsworth.
Here's a guy.
And Catherine Tappan on nice. The sideline.
Let's go!
No, that's not her. The Monday nighter, 8:15, Arizona. The Rams are in town to take on the Cardinals, and Steve Levy's on the call.
It's pretty good to be your boy Leaves right about now.
Joined by Brian Greasy.
Bob Ross likes to paint. I think it might be a draw.
And his sound-alikey Lewis Riddick with the great Lisa Salters on the sideline. And that is your local NFL announcer lineup.
Wow.
And that'll do it for ENN as well.
Oh.
How does a one-arm person clap? They slap themselves on the shoulder? How do they do that?
I think you're right. Shoulder, thigh.
Yeah, head. I would guess it's. I think thigh would be the normal move.
It would be the best resonance, I think.
Why did that cross your mind just now?
Because listen to Don clap, and it was a weak clap. So I've never had a weak clap. That?
Yeah, you can accuse Don of many things, not yeah. weak clap. Okay. Sorry.
You're really been on my.
You know what?
Yeah. Easter? On my sock today.
Like what?
And I don't like it.
You can sniff my socks.
The Coach K, it's been proven, was a legit guess.
Proven by who? Because Andrew said it?
And Peter.
Oh, yeah. Because Peter would back you over me any day.
Oh, run it up the poll. We got a half hour.
No.
I'm asking. Forget whether you agree. Anthony, run it up the poll.
Wow.
He's not a boss of anybody.
That's right.
No, I'm not.
Though he's threatening to fire people all day today.
I'm not threatening to fire anybody. I'm saying just leave. You obviously in over your head today.
I'm in over my head?
Both of you.
Both?
Yeah.
What if Peter? Both!
Because Peter's backing up your nonsensical stuff.
And Andrew?
Same thing. All gone.
Anthony, you have an opinion on this?
That was my guess.
All right, there you go. I don't know how many other people. You want me to drag the Nick crew? They're not doing anything right now.
Well, hey there.
They're basketball people.
What does that mean?
Bring in Ed Cohn right now and ask him. Bring him in. He ain't doing nothing. He's walking around in the hall.
No. Guessing Mike Krzyzewski is a dumb guess. No thought process whatsoever.
Dumb.
No, there was definitely some thought process.
No, there was none. He's been the Olympic coach for 3 different Olympics. He's retiring, and you want him to work more? It's a terrible, terrible take.
The greatest assortment of basketball players ever. It's not a lot of work.
Really?
Go out there.
Really?
Go win. Go win by 40.
Yeah. Ask how tough it was for Pop. It wasn't easy. Let's take a brief timeout and towel off. We'll take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.